This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Replaced the failed translator and installed a brand new translator. It is also in a new location in Philomath and on a new frequency. KBOO's new frequency for Corvallis, Albany, and Philomath is 104.3.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock. Coming up next on stage and studio, host Demay Roberts previews two summer festivals. Her guests are Jerry Tischletter, director of the Risk Reward Festival, which pushes artistic boundaries in dance, theater, and music, and curator-performer Eleanor O'Brien of Coho Productions, Solo Summer 2013, featuring five female solo artists. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Viennese bike collector and architect Michael Embacher, whose collection forms the basis of the Portland Art Museum's new show, Cyclopedia, Iconic Bicycle Design. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
I'm Demay Roberts, Stage and Studio. Each day I get dozens of emails from people and groups who'd like to be featured on this show. It's hard to fit everyone into the schedule, so it's really a treat when I can feature a festival that includes a lot of performers. Today we're actually going to hear about two. We're listening to music right now from the trailer of the Risk Reward Festival. This is the sixth year for the West Coast Microfest that features artists pushing the boundaries of dance, theater, and music. Along with the Risk Reward Festival, we're going to feature Coho Productions. They're bringing back another season of solo summer shows. It's got shows with four women we've had on Stage and Studio before, as well as a show I haven't seen. We'll hear from curator and performer Eleanor O'Brien. But first, we talk with Jerry Tischletter, the curator of the Risk Reward Festival. He dropped by my studio to talk about the six artists being featured this year.
This is the sixth year of the Risk Reward Festival. And I remember in the earlier stages, too, so it seems like it's really grown a lot.
Yeah, it has grown. We've added a performance this year, but I think also just in terms of the caliber of artists that we're working with and the amount of production value we're able to put in, it's been growing every year.
You have a huge list of people who are helping you to decide on the performers that you're bringing here for Risk Reward.
All the artists are, yeah, there's two from Portland, three from Seattle, and one from Vancouver. So we put together a panel every year of artists and administrators from across the region to help us choose the festival lineup. This year we had some great people from Pika and Whitebird. On the Boards is a group in Seattle that we work with a lot. And there's a festival in Vancouver, BC, the Push Festival, that we get some help from. Yeah, it's been really great, a good way to get people sort of on the inside of how we put the festival together.
And what are you looking for? What are you looking for? I mean, I get the risk part because it seems like they're all very daring performers. Mm-hmm. So what are you looking for when you choose the performers to do the Risk Reward Festival?
Yeah, it's tough to define distinctly. I mean, we kind of know it when we see it. So we're generally looking at a few things from artists. They're giving us an idea of what they want to do, you know, a proposal. So we'll look at the artistic quality and the ambition of what they're trying to create artistically. We'll look at where the festival might fit into the artist's career, if it's going to help, you know, push them forward in their sort of trajectory. And then work samples of past works that they've made, they sent in. Some people have some studio work of the one that they're currently working on, too. So we kind of take it all in the mix and then think about a variety of geography, a variety of discipline. It's a little bit of a balancing act.
How many people submitted ideas or their performances to you?
I think there was about 50 this year, and so we narrowed it down to six. It's a really, really tough game to do.
That's quite a few. And when you said Vancouver, that was from Vancouver, BC, as opposed to Vancouver across the river?
Yeah, Vancouver, BC. Luckily, I get the chance to go up there a couple times a year and see performance and make connections with different artists up there. And so it's nice to be able to see that people are interested in coming down here.
Is there a specific circuit? I mean, there's, you know, there's the fringe circuit, there's, you know, dance circuits, and these are all very multidisciplinary. I mean, they're from different disciplines. You've got dance, you've got theater, and do you have some music?
There's a collaboration between a folk group from San Francisco and a theater group from Seattle. So, yeah, it's there are a lot of different circuits, I feel like, that we have to reach out to. People in the theater community, people in the dance community, people in the cabaret scene, people in the visual arts scene. It's really, a lot of the artists that we're looking at are sort of hybrid in between genres. So trying to get to know as many communities as possible is really helpful for us.
And so in that, in, you know, you did all the, you know, you viewed all the videotapes, you read all the resumes, you really studied, I would say, the artists, and you probably have seen quite a few of them yourself. What was the final decision? What did it come down to?
So we've got six artists that are coming down for this year. The first one, I guess I can start from the farthest away. In Vancouver, BC, there's an artist called Josh Martin from a group called the 605 Collective. They're really on the cusp of big things in the dance world. They're actually performing this weekend at the American Dance Festival, which is one of the highest platforms in this country. So he's bringing down a solo that's exploring the idea that the body holds its own separate memory bank, and it may or may not share that information with the mind. So he's a dance artist. I feel like his training is fairly classical. He's got a really great classical repertoire, but he also has this sort of precise control of a hip-hop dancer where I feel like he can isolate his moves in a way that seeing him move is kind of uncanny. It seems like it's sped up or slowed down somehow, which is really wild.
You described him really well. I mean, the photo that we have on the Stage and Studio site basically is him almost flying through the air.
Yeah, I think in terms of physical prowess and skill, I mean, he's one of the most impressive dancers I've ever seen. So that's Josh Martin from Vancouver. Then traveling down the I-5, we have the Satori group from Seattle, which I think you have another sort of gory picture that we've been using for a lot of PR, which is interesting because they're actually exploring the idea that we're all refugees of a culture of violence, and they're trying to think about what would it mean if the next generation was the first nonviolent generation in this planet's history. And they're creating a musical based on that idea. There's a folk duo from San Francisco called the Bengsons that they're working to create a rollicking musical that they describe about a new American mythology, essentially.
You know, judging from the picture, which you said was, it is kind of bloody. It's got lots of hands and there's little driplets of blood in it. I would not have thought it was a musical unless it was something like Sweeney Todd.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's a new performance, so we'll see what they come up with.
So a lot of the photos, you know, and the descriptions sound very serious, but there's a little bit of whimsy or humor in some of this too, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the other groups from Seattle, Je, it's spelled A-J-A, but apparently the A's are silent. So they have a pretty whimsical performance about the ideas of first kisses, losing love, flirting, one-night stands. There's a real playfulness and a real fun aspect to that performance that I think people will really be entertained by.
I did not get that from the descriptions either, because it sounds, you know, from your descriptions of the Risk Reward Festival, it kind of sounds very heavy and
right. Conceptual,
and we've got to be intelligent to witness this kind of thing.
Well, I think we want people that are rigorously exploring artistic ideas, but at the same time, we want people to have fun and enjoy themselves. And I think that's actually where Risk Reward strives to find a pretty interesting balance between bold artists that are taking risks, but that are also, you know, including their audience and that are trying to say something both important but interesting at the same time.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio, and I'm Dee Mae Roberts talking with Jerry Tischletter, and we're talking about the Risk Reward Festival 2013, and which is opening June 21 through 23. You can find out more about it at stageandstudio.org. you've given us a couple of choices here. And this is, you know, what's amazing, Jerry, is it's all happening on one weekend. I mean, that is pretty amazing.
And they each do 20-minute chunks of this new performance. So it's a developmental platform. So you get to see all six each night. Yeah.
I liked that when I saw that, because it was like 20 minutes, take a break, 20 minutes, take an, you know. And I hate to say that we have shorter and shorter attention spans, but it actually does make us kind of savor it, like a multi-course meal.
Yeah, and I think it kind of opens people up to different disciplines that they might not be engaged with currently. I've had people describe it as like a party platter or a mixtape of a cross-section of the performance scene.
I think that's a good description. So who's next on the party platter?
So Shannon Stewart is another artist from Seattle. She's making an ensemble piece as a solo. So I'm not sure exactly how she's going to pull that off, but she's really looking at all the aspects of performing, viewing, and participating that go into making a dance work. She's a movement artist. She's specifically also talking about sort of the economics about being a dancer, and she's specifically making a piece that lacks production values, that lacks costumes, and I think that is lacking maybe some of its ensemble because of the realities of how the work's being made. So it's a comment on the work inside the work.
Wow. I mean, so she is doing an ensemble piece, but she's probably playing all the roles, right? And it's a comment on how she has to do everything.
We'll see. I'm excited to see how she pulls it off.
And who's left?
So we've got Wayne Bunn from Portland. Wayne is a real darling of the cabaret and drag performance scene, and he's making a high-energy tour de force of pop culture, radical feminism, and queer theory all sort of rolled into one. So I think he's a real fan favorite around Portland, so he'll be fun.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it. It looked kind of like it was part lecture, part stand-up in some respects. Is that correct?
So that one is the last one, which is Lance Life, and they're a really incredible group. They're making, it's almost like a motivational speaker spoof, but I say spoof lightly because I do think they're going deeper at issues around sort of the desire to win in our culture and the ways that we listen to people who tell us how to live our lives. But they're sort of working on the edge of comedy and performance art. They did the famous Mysterious Actor Show. I don't know if you ever heard about that. It was a live talk show that went for years in Portland and had sort of a cult following. So this is sort of their next new project.
So two Portlanders and then four others from the Northwest. And it sounds like a really good mix there.
Yeah, we're excited. It's at Artist Rep where we've had it for the last few years. So it's a great space and it should be a really good time.
As the artistic director, you started this organization. You started Risk Reward. So I understand the risk part of being an artistic director and having to spend the year curating a show. What's the reward part for you?
For me, it's getting to see these artists have a chance to realize their vision. They put down a proposal, and then we try to give them the tools to put it together, and to see it all come together in one night is always magic.
And what are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, that's tough to say. I do think Josh, the dancer from Vancouver, is really, really special. So he's on a lot of our publicity materials. So yeah, I'm looking forward to them all, really.
How well attended is the Risk Reward?
It's been really good. I mean, the reason we added a third performance this year is because we've had the demand. So we're looking forward to bigger and more crowds every year. And we do actually have some that come multiple. I bet we'll have, 500 or 600 people over the course of the weekend this year.
I think you kind of tapped into perhaps a new type of festival as opposed to something that requires you to attend like a week at a time or even a whole weekend because you can just come for one performance of it, right? What are there a lot of what you call a microfest?
There's not a lot. The idea is pretty stolen from a festival in Seattle that we collaborate with really heavily. I sort of got really engaged with their model and wanted to try to make the same thing happen here. I've seen a couple other things that call themselves microfest, but they're more a condensed timeline of a lot of artists, but not really the chance to see everything in one night, which I think is pretty unique.
There is, I don't want to say a need, but there is a desire for audiences to kind of sample a lot of different things in one event. And I think you're tapping into, or have been tapping into that, sort of the same thing that the TED Talks have tapped into.
Right. And I do think, when you start talking about the terms experimental performance and avant-garde, it can feel very standoffish to a lot of people and over academic and over serious. So I think for us, the opportunity to bring people in and say, hey, give it a, chance. You know, each of these is 20 minutes. So if you don't engage with something, you can move on to the next thing. But it's really a way of sort of drawing audience in a way that's different than I think a lot of the contemporary art world does.
You've hit it right there in the fact that the standoffish, or in, and when you start saying experimental, that people can get kind of scared too, right?
Yeah, you might think there's some painful audience participation involved or something like that.
And that would be like bad performance art, right?
Well, I think maybe it just is something derived from an early 70s idea of performance art, which is one snippet in time along a long continuum of art making.
I think you put a lot of thought into it. You put a lot of thought into giving a full range of human experience in there, too. I mean, you've got serious themes, but also some fun and some fancy in there, too. So, you know, it's the full range as opposed to like the serious, and you've got this ponderous, and you know, you'll leave crying, and your life will be, you know, a total wreck or something.
Yeah, I think, you know, the goal is for there to be something for everyone. I can't say that everything will be for everyone, but I can't imagine somebody won't find something that they really engage with.
Well, I guess I'm stereotyping, you know, that heavy experimental art that was in the 70s or whatever that I never saw. But well, Jerry Tischlitter, it's been great talking with you, and I wish you the best of, you know, luck in your micro fest of Risk Reward Festival. And how do you see it going on forever and ever?
I sure hope so. You know, the one in Seattle that we're modeling after has been going for 30 years now, and it's made a huge impact on the performing arts scene there. So that's the goal, is for us to do the same.
Well, break legs with that. Thank you for joining us on Stage and Studio.
Thanks to me.
The Risk Reward Festival runs Friday through Sunday, June 21st through the 23rd. The shows are 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 5 p.m. Sunday. All shows are at Artist Repertory Theater's Alder Stage, located at 1516 Southwest Alder Street in Portland. To reserve tickets, visit risk-reward.org. Or you can get tickets at Artist Rep Box Office or call 503-451-6569. That's 503-451-6569. If you want a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Risk Reward Festival, visit facebook.com/stage-studio and post a comment about why you'd like to see the Risk Reward Festival. That's facebook.com/stage-studio. Up next, curator, performer Eleanor O'Brien joins us via phone to talk about Coho Productions' Solo Summer, featuring 5 female solo artists throughout June and July. I'm Dime Roberts. Right now we're listening to a song called Icos by Portland composer Susan Alexander. Joining me right now is Eleanor O'Brien, and you are the curator as well as a performer for the Coho Summer Solo Shows this year.
Yeah.
So, actually, how did you become the curator?
Back in February or so, I got an email from Scott, who was still the board president at the time, and asked if I would be interested. And I thought, absolutely, I would love to put together a group of shows that I personally want to see. So that was what got the ball rolling, and I got all my first choices.
Well, yeah, and they, including yourself, so you're performing in it as well. You've got several people that have been featured on Stage and Studio, too, but tell us first about your show, and it's GGG.
GGG, which actually stands for Good Girls Guide, scan, but it also is a reference to the Dan Savage acronym of Good Giving and Game. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Dan Savage has been a big influence on me as well, and being a sex positive person. So the show is, on one level, it's about training to be a dominatrix in New York City. When I was living there, you know, trying to make my fame and fortune as an actor, and I answered an ad on Craigslist. So it's that story, and then it's also woven in with another story about how when I was a kid, I loved to dance, and then I went through this kind of journey of, like, letting go of dance, because dancing was really only for people who were, you know, fit and beautiful and all that, and, you know, then dancing became what you would do when you're kind of half-drunk and wearing uncomfortable shoes, and then discovering ecstatic dance, and that journey of ecstatic dance being a way to learn how to love myself. And so I weave those two stories together, and the show begins and ends with a character I call the Goddess Dom, which is kind of my embodiment of what would it really be like if you fully embraced who you were and loved yourself and had no insecurity. And actually, that was the start of the show. I wrote the show in a class, or I started writing it in a class in New York, and the assignment was to write a character that you've always wanted to play. And I wanted to play a character that was supremely self-confident, you know, just feel like, what does that feel like? And so that's one of the characters I play in the show, and I just love her. I call her the self-help Dom, and she plays with the audience. It's this whole thing of, like, asking the audience, like, you know, how do you love yourself, and what do you love about yourself? And her is very, very fun. She gives out spankings and hugs and stuff.
Well, it sounds very positive. All of the shows are all very positive. And they're all women. Yeah. They just happen to be women. And so let's do a rundown, because I think your show starts off first, and then who's next?
Next is Threads, and Threads is Tanya Joan Miller's show. And I've watched that show evolve. She came on tour with me in 2009. I took Inviting Desire, my ensemble show about women's sexuality, on tour to the Canadian Fringe, and she saw all these shows and decided she wanted to write her own show, which is exactly what has happened to me. I went on tour in 2004 and saw all these shows. So she wrote a show based on her mother's experience in Vietnam. Her mother was a farm girl from Illinois and went to Vietnam in the 60s to help, you know, with no, you know, she taught at a Buddhist university there. And it's a very compelling story. And so she interviewed her mother and turned it into this beautiful piece of theater that I've watched evolve. She's on her second tour now. And that's kind of the interesting thing about these shows, that mine included, is that they, you know, because it's just you, you can continue to shape and rewrite and find out what works. And so I think her show is in a really beautiful place right now.
Yeah, I saw her show, and it's great that she has worked on it. It's been about 2 years now, so it's great that she has kept working on it, and that it's, you know, it's evolved to, I think, to probably changed quite a bit since then, and as yours has too. And so one of the other shows too that I've seen is My Mind is Like an Open Meadow, Erin Leddy's show, and that was a really kind of tour de force, multimedia. I mean, she sings and she, you know, performs dancing, and there's sound involved. So has that grown as well?
Well, I'm really looking forward to that show. That is interesting. I've never seen it. Every time she's performed, I've been on tour. So I know Erin, and it's been this constant source of frustration that I haven't been able to see her show, which is one of the reasons I wanted to have it in the lineup, so that I would have the opportunity to see it. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hear just, you know, so many wonderful things from people, and of course she wins Grammy for it, and so I'm very excited for that show.
Well, yeah, and that one also features her grandmother, so there's a little bit of a running theme there so far. And then Mr. Darcy Dreamboat, which I also saw, was a Camille Satina, and she is actually doing something about Mr. Darcy, but it's also about literature and her love of literature.
And what I love about her show is that it is sort of this heady topic, but she's such a physical actress that it really feels embodied, you know, that it isn't just a talking head. So, and I've been really interested in her work with Lecoq and, you know, physical theater. So that's a super exciting show to see. And then the other one, Tara Travis, is from Vancouver, and she's doing a show called Till Death, The Six Wives of Henry VIII. And it was the one show that I saw when I was on tour last year that I just was so blown away by. She plays all six wives of Henry VIII in The Afterlife, and she's a genius comedic actress. She's just so funny and quick. And one of the characters is Anne Boleyn's head, and the other wives toss her around throughout the whole show. And they're all waiting for Henry to arrive, and they're debating who's to get to stay with him in the afterlife. And it was just so much fun. I just thought for the 4th of July weekend, I really wanted it to just be a comedic, fun show that, who are in town could go see. So she agreed to take that weekend, even though, from a marketing theater standpoint, that is a challenge to, get people in the theater. But I think if anybody could do it, she can, because it's a wonderful show.
Well, the photo alone is very provocative. I mean, it shows her as Henry VIII, and then there's all these wives behind her, which is actually her. So that's pretty provocative.
Yeah, after I saw that show, I asked her if I could interview her about what it was like to create that show and her process as a solo show artist, because I was just so impressed by her. And, it's funny, there's a lot of men who tour the festivals, and there's a lot of sort of male stars in the Canadian fringe circuit, and that's not as true of women. It's hard for people to name, who's the one female artist that everybody goes to see? And she's the closest, I think, it comes on the Canadian fringe circuit anyway, of, she's just a powerhouse, people will be like, oh, Sarah Travis, I want to see what she does, so... I'm very excited to have her come down and perform that show.
Well, it sounds like they're all very exciting shows, and there is a running theme from sex to love to literature to, family ties, and then you've got history in there. So there's a lot to feast on during this Coho Summer Solo show. So yeah, it sounds like there's a lot to offer. As far as a broad menu for all these shows.
Something for everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Eleanor O'Brien, for joining me today and to talk a little bit about all this. I don't want to say female shows, but they really is almost like a women's festival here. But, it just sort of happened by accident. And I love that. Well, you take care. And thanks so much for talking to me today. Okay, bye-bye. Coho Productions Solo Summer Shows features the Grammy Award-winning My Mind is Like an Open Meadow with Aaron Letty, Eleanor O'Brien's GGG, Dominatrix for Dummies, Camille Satina's popular Mr. Darcy Dreamboat, and The Poignant Threads by Tonya Joan Miller, as well as the Canadian Fringe Circuit hit Till Death, The Six Wives of Henry VIII by Tara Travis. All shows are at Coho Theater, located at 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street in Portland. Showtimes are Thursday through Sunday, June 13th through July 14th. There's no show on July 4th. All shows start at 7:30 p.m. There is a festival pass available or single tickets available at cohoproductions.org. And we have a pair of tickets to the best comment posted on our Facebook page. Visit facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio, and post a comment about why you'd like to see Coho Summer Solo Shows. That's facebook.com/stage, the letter N, studio. That's it for this edition of Stage and Studio. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org. And you can always download shows at iTunes. Just search for Stage and Studio. You can also tweet a comment at Stage, the letter N, Studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts. We're going to go out with a song by singer Lindy Ma. You can hear her work at lindymah.org. LYNDEEMAH.org.
Would you dance with a stranger on a night made for love? Would you dance with a stranger 'neath the starlight above and in the shadow, far away from the crowd? In one sweet moment, would a kiss be allowed? There's a thrill that comes near me with the soft violins. What a wonderful feeling. Here's where romance begins. It's a lovely suggestion. Would you dance with a stranger if that stranger were me?
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11:30. Coming up next, it's Art Focus with host Joseph Gallivan. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Art and Craft, a creative community in Portland. OCAC invites you to its open house for undergraduate degree programs on June 22nd at 1 p.m. You can RSVP at www.ocac.edu.
Andy Warhol is a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Michael Mbacher. He's an architect and designer from Austria and a bike collector. And his collection of 220 bicycles have been sorted and transported to Portland, and they make the basis of Cyclepedia, the new show at Portland Art Museum. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
You said that you started collecting bicycles based on an unfulfilled wish. You saw a bike in a shop window when you were a kid.
When I was 14, I saw a beautiful bike in a